Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our event this morning on Interfamily Archetypes. We are so pleased to see you all and everybody on the broadcast. We welcome you, and we'll get directly into this. And we at the Ashram felt it was very important to deal with the subject of interfamily archetypes because we know that depth psychology is very important, but so is height psychology. And that I've seen do we deal with both simultaneously in the inner relationship of the soul to God and the principles of the four cosmic forces, the four lower bodies, the loved father, unloved father, loved mother, unloved mother, loved boy child, unloved boy child, loved girl child, unloved girl child as elements interweaving within our conscious, subconscious, and conscious mind, and superconscious. And it sounds very complex, but it really opens a new doorway to who we are and why we do the things that we do. So without further ado, Therese Emanuel Gray will kick off our morning.
Hi, it's nice to see all these friendly faces. It really is. Is the mic volume all right if I sit back like that? Welcome, everyone, and welcome, everyone, on the path. We're going to begin today by talking a little bit about the Golden Age psychology. The Golden Age psychology was introduced about a decade ago as a psychology that was coming and that was going to be part of freeing the planet for the Golden Age. And what we're going to be seeing today is that everything that happens in the macrocosm has to start in the microcosm first, meaning everything that goes out has to start within. We have to be the change that we want to see in the world. And so this is our approach to the Golden Age psychology. And Michael, as what Michael was saying, the interfamily archetypes are a very key component to this understanding. So what is the Golden Age psychology? Psyche in Greek means soul. And the study of psychology is the study of the soul's particular evolution in time and space. When we talk about Golden Age psychology, we are talking about a new understanding of psychology for the time to come, and which is being anchored now. Golden Age psychology is the study and nurturing of the process of the soul becoming one with God. I saw this most beautiful picture this week that was released by the Hubble telescope of a starry field, and the picture was white, blue, red, and yellow. The stars were coming out as those colors in that field of brilliance, and the numberless numbers of stars that were just in that one little segment of the universe. It showed me as well what goes on at the atomic level within our body and how without and within, it is all universes within universes. And so this is all about how we are God and how God is within, God is without, and we are becoming the fullness, we are awakening to the fullness of who we are and who we are meant to be. In the ancient mystery schools, when an initiate entered the temple, the words inscribed on the portal through which he entered were, "Man, know thyself." When the initiate had graduated, he left the temple through another door over which were inscribed the words, "Man, know thyself as God." And so the process that the initiate went through between both doors is the process that is studied and assisted by the Golden Age psychology. How do we become the fullness of oneness with God in an effectual, practical way? What are the steps, the opportunities, and the pitfalls along the way? How do we shepherd the soul and assist the personality into making correct free will choices that lead to a permanent crystallization in God? This is the journey we are about. In the word initiation, you find the word niche. Initiations are sets of circumstances that allow us to move up in consciousness, niche by niche. Through the process of initiation, we can put on more and more of our divinity if we successfully pass our tests. And what the masters have explained is that for every test passed, there is that equivalent anchoring of fire. And so we move niche by niche and fire unto fire. Initiations are not easy. The mystic Charles Ledbetter wrote about that when he connected with the Solo Logoi. The Solo Logoi confess that even at that level, there is groaning and travail in order to pass initiations. In a sense, a part of God experiences growing pains in the process of becoming more of God and in anchoring more of the geometry of divinity. And we are going to talk today about the geometry of divinity as we look at the inner family archetype model. We can fail our initiations, and sometimes these same initiations must be given to us over several lifetimes. The entire result of the fall of man and of the fall of angels came about because Lucifer was not willing to pass his initiation. He lagged, and in so doing became the first laggard. His refusal to face the creative tension that is present in every engendered evil in the matter universe. And so think about that. You know, when we fail to pass our initiation, what happens to the whole group of souls that is tied to us as that handkerchief? If we're the top of the handkerchief and all of these souls are following our example on the inner, when we do not pass our initiation, there is a letdown in the universe. And I have to say that I experienced that once in a dream state where I was given an initiation and I did not pass the initiation. And the letdown that my soul felt at that moment, the letdown of the entire scenario that had been put together for me to pass this initiation, was really something that created an awakening for me that I had never had before about how important it is to pass the initiation. And I remember feeling so bereft and, you know, saying, God, if I had known it was an initiation, I would have done the right thing, right? But that's not how it works. It was a setup to see, you know, what I was going to do with that. And I woke up with the words of a master saying to me, all you have to do is remember, remember, remember. And I woke up thinking, I remember, I remember, I remember. And so the reason I'm sharing this with you is because initiations are not to be taken lightly. And the Great White Brotherhood go through a lot of care and a lot of effort and energy into creating our initiations. And so it's not just a children's game. Every time we pass the initiation, we anchor that much more fire of God. The initiation that is coming to many in this age is the initiation of moving from children of God to sons and daughters of God. In the process of achieving this new level of initiation, these new sons and daughters of God must become accustomed to carry more of the burdens of the world, to balance more karma, and are expected to come up higher with a new level of difficulty. It becomes harder and harder to pass our initiations if we do not have a basic understanding of our psychology, which is our soul and the workings of our soul, the relationship of our soul to God, the relationship of our soul to God and others, the relationship of our soul that left off God and created the dweller on the threshold, and how that dweller interacts with the dweller of every other person. This is the not-self that I'm referring to. So that's why in the 1990s, the masters gave a number of dictations urging people to study their psychology. The science of giving decrees and mantras is also vital to the process of spiritual acceleration. This gets you to the point where you're ready to take on your psychology and then helps you to clear what you find. I was just reading this morning an excerpt of a dictation by Mother Mary where she says the violet flame is the most critical component because we basically transmute the thought form and the way that things have been structured so that the dweller in us and the fallen ones without can no longer find their coordinates. And so every time we give the violet flame, it's the quickest way to get from point A to point B. And so we find that the path of psychology and the path of spirituality are like two legs upon which we must stand, walk, and run with on our course back to Father, Mother, God. We do the psychology, we invoke the violet flame, we understand an issue, a problem, a circumstance, a knot in our own being, we get a certain level of illumination on it, and then we saturate it with violet flame. We are a soul and we are a personality. We are intended to become one with our Christ self and mighty I Am presence. Each new life, we have a new personality. The personalities that we have had lifetime after lifetime are like beads that we string on a necklace. The soul is the string. When the necklace is complete, we lay it as an offering on the altar of our Father, Mother, God, as a love offering. And in the process, we become immortal. The personality is the agency of free will for the soul. The personality creates karma for the soul that is both good and bad, and it is influenced by soul momentums. This karma determines the conditions of incarnation for the next personality that the soul will experience, the next role she will play in the grand theater of life. Now, it's interesting how it was only a week ago that I really got the understanding at a very deep level that my personality and my ego were two different things. It had been so drilled into me that my ego and personality were one and the same, that if anything was to threaten my ego, it was threatening my personality, therefore my free will ability to choose to be God. And when I was able to differentiate between the two and say, oh, wait a minute, my personality is not my ego. My ego is the not-self. And my personality, things that would affect or impact my ego that I would want to ego defend are not a part of what I have to defend, because what I'm defending is my personality's free will choice to defend my soul becoming God. And so this may seem like just a little something obvious, and yet when I really understood the difference between the two in my being, it created a whole new groove, a whole new corridor where I could more effectively step away from the ego and say, just like in that movie of the little Buddha, you know, architect, you have no power over me, you know, I finally see you. And the little Buddha is Antonia's favorite movie, and she always brings it up to me to remember this scene, and that is really what takes place when we see that difference there. And so we come in with certain karmic factors to learn from that become our initiation. When we contemplate this process, we must remember there is no injustice in the universe and that we are in the best possible condition that our karma allows us to be in. We must also not lose sight of the fact that before coming once again into this world with a new baby body, we chose, as our karma dictated, our preset life circumstance, as well as our parents and our specific life course. This decision was made together with spiritual beings who helped us. Like the decree says, a karmic board of spiritual overseers who help us to develop the most meaningful aspect of our divine plan, lifetime after lifetime. This deliberation becomes a blueprint or matrix that we hold in our etheric body, which is our superconscious self. The etheric body is the only body we keep between incarnations and the vehicle through which we go to the retreats at night. It is our memory body and holds the memory of all of our incarnations. The other three bodies, our mental, emotional, and physical bodies, are recreated anew for each lifetime, based on the etheric blueprint and karmic matrix that is held within the etheric body. Therefore, our karmically based etheric pattern determines what kind of emotional propensity we will have, as well as our mental habit patterns, and as well as our physical strengths and weaknesses that come through our genetics. Nothing is by chance. We must remember we are energetic beings first, and that it is our karmic energy patterns that precipitate who we are and what we will become in the physical plane. As Jesus explained, every hair on your head is numbered. We cannot experience true healing until we have the healing of the cause and core behind the condition, which is transmutation and healing at the level of the etheric blueprint first. Healing begins at the level of the spirit, which is the etheric, and what Jesus meant when he said, "Be thou made whole." And that is why we use the violet flame. We are transmuting, we are consuming at that level of the etheric blueprint first, the entire matrix and structure that holds us bound in our karma and in our habit patterns, negative habit patterns of emotions and thoughts and feelings. So there are many tools and understands that relate to the Golden Age psychology, and you can find out more about this. We have a website, goldenagepsychology.com, where we've put some of these teachings. We have the Inner Family Archetype website as well, innerfamilyarchetypes.com, and there are many teachings that we have not published yet that are a part of bringing in this Golden Age psychology. The foundation, however, for our work is the Inner Family Archetype model. And the Inner Family Archetype model was initially inspired by a teaching that Mother Mary gave called the teaching on the cosmic clock. And if any one of you can get this hands on this book that is published, I believe is still published by the Summit Lighthouse, The Great White Brotherhood and the Culture, History, and Religion of America, you will see when you open up inside various diagrams of the cosmic clock. And we are going to be talking a little bit more about this today and how this relates to the Inner Family Archetype model. For those of you who are listening on the broadcast, if you go to the website, innerfamilyarchetypes.com/events.html, you will see we're doing an upcoming event, and then below that there are notes to this event. And so if you would like to get we have handouts here for the people who are here actually, and then for those of you on the patch, you can go to innerfamilyarchetypes.com/events.html. Or from the homepage, just click on the event that says, coming up, and you will see the notes for today's event. And so what we're going to talk about today is more of the process of becoming God, becoming man, man becoming God through the archetypes, the figure eight flow. And I would like to thank Caroline Hansky as well for giving us a wonderful clearance about 2 months ago in our Monday night group where we talk about Golden Age psychology, which you're welcome to attend. And we do this on the phone, we do this on the internet, as well as in person. And so we did this clearance, and as we were doing this clearance, this entire understanding opened up in a greater way, and I would like to share it with you today. And so you're welcome to pass these out here.
Are these colored?
They are, and I think one of them was stapled backwards, but the others are forward. It's the figure eight flow of the staples. So you've heard the expression that we're gods in manifestation. The book of Hebrews says, "Ye are gods, and all of ye are sons of the Most High." Think about what this means. We also speak about the descent of the city four square. We hear about this over and over again. We're waiting for this to happen. We know that there is Golden Age civilizations and Golden Age consciousness happening at the level of the etheric plane over every major ocean, these 14 cities, as well as every retreat, all of these etheric retreats, which, by the way, you can see at ethericretreats.com as well. We're putting out websites to illustrate all of these different points. And so we look at this, we are looking for the city four square, this new Jerusalem that descends out of heaven where God wipes away all tears from our eyes, and we begin to see that that process is an internal process first. We have to be the change we want to see in the world. We have to bring forth that etheric blueprint of the City Force Square within our own consciousness first. And the more we do this, the more we are transforming, and we'll see that transformation taking place on the outer, because the entire macrocosm is held within our own microcosm. And so there is a miracle interchange that happens. Every time we change, we're changing the entire planet, the entire universe, one person at a time. That's why Saint Germain gave us that mantra, I am the one. You know, what can I do? I am all one and alone, and yet I know this is my key. This is our key. And so bringing in the City Force Square means bringing it in first within our own temple, and that is where the archetype model comes in, the inner family archetype model comes in. The four archetypes are a bridge. They bridge our soul, our personality to God, and they bridge God to us. When you think of this bridge between spirit and matter, you can see the journey from spirit to matter that was described by John when he said, he spoke of the Word made flesh. That is the journey from spirit to matter, the Word becoming flesh. Now, the journey from matter back to spirit is what Paul said when he said, this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. And so we're looking at this constant exchange between spirit and matter and spirit. And this is what this work is about. And so we have our four lower bodies, the etheric, mental, emotional, physical, also called the superconscious, conscious, subconscious, unconscious. And if you're not familiar with this, on the Inner Family Archetypes website, there's more information about that. And then we have the three aspects of divinity that are the threefold flame, the blue, the yellow, the pink. The blue power, the yellow wisdom, the pink love. And then all of this becomes anchored in the white fire of the mother. And so these colors and these aspects of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are all placed on a cosmic clock, on 12 lines of the clock. And these lines of the clock are actually vast reservoirs and anchoring lines of energy that exist throughout cosmos, and there is a retinue of spiritual beings on each line. And so you can see this. Mother talked about, you know, millions and billions of beings holding the quality and the line for each clock. And we're tapping into these as we move forward with this work. And so how does this work? How do these 12 lines of the clock and these plumes of God consciousness, love, wisdom, and power cycle in our own being, and how do they relate to the archetype model? Well, I'd like to give you just a little introduction to the archetype model for those who are not familiar with it, the inner family archetypes. You have the four archetypes or energies of Father, Mother, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is the loving Father. When that energy is perverted in some form, is basically turned upside down by the force of darkness, we have the unloving Father energy. We have the Son, the energy of the Christ, the boy child, when that energy is turned upside down through the force of darkness, we have the unloved boy child. We find the Mother, the loving Mother energy at the 6 o'clock line. That energy turned upside down, perverted, darkened, is the unloving Mother. We have the girl child energy on the 9 o'clock line, the Holy Spirit. That energy, when it is perverted, turned upside down, becomes the unloved girl child. And I would like to read to you something that Mother Mary says. This was something that Lord Ling said, Lord Ling being an incarnation of Moses, or Moses being an incarnation of Lord Ling. He was talking about Mother Mary, and this was a dictation that we actually heard at an event we did here a couple of weeks ago, where we were listening to the class of the archangels. And Lord Ling said, "Our dear Mother of Israel, Mother Mary, has given to you her dissertation on the signs of the appearing of his stars, truly the events that always surround the incarnation of the Word. She has transferred to you the dispensation of the exchange of family mesmerism for your integration with the divine family of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and of the Mother, and all of those personages of the Godhead incarnate who occupy, truly occupy till I come, those facets of divinity that are represented in the four quadrants of being. For all human relationships come out of the four personages of the Godhead, and each in his own hour and day fulfills the representation of these four. Let me read that again. For all human relationships come out of the four personages of the Godhead, and each in his own hour and day fulfills the representation of these four. And so this is really the gift and the power of this model and understanding how it works in our psychology. It works at the divine level of God as Father, Mother, Son, Holy Spirit, God as the lion, the man, the calf, the flying eagle. And then it works at the level of our own psychology, and we see where things get plugged up, where things are distorted, where things have need of healing, and we start to bridge the gap. And so let's look at the etheric quadrant. The journey of the archetypes is the journey, as we said, from spirit to matter. And so at the level of the etheric body, we find the fiery blueprint of God. The etheric is the fiery blueprint. It's the white fire energy. If you see these charts, in fact, we have one here on our interfamily archetype websites, on our books, you see the fire quadrant, the father quadrant is the white. It's the fiery blueprint. This is also in the Great White Brotherhood book, the white fire, father, etheric. How does this father precipitate at the level of the etheric plane? It precipitates first on the 12 o'clock line as God power, the fiery blueprint of God's power. It precipitates on the 1 o'clock line as God love, the fiery blueprint of God's love as Aquarius, as divine love. It precipitates on the 2 o'clock line as the fiery blueprint of God's wisdom. And this is God mastery, the fiery blueprint. And so you see, here we have this fiery blueprint descending. Now this etheric energy is going to start to begin its materialization process as it enters the quadrant of the sun, the quadrant of the boy child, the mental quadrant. This is where the fall took place, and it is so important for us to reclaim this mental quadrant, because when we reclaim it within, we are reclaiming it without. The three main fallen angels that fell on the mental quadrant were Lucifer on the 3 o'clock line, Satan on the 4 o'clock line, Serpent on the 5 o'clock line. And so we are going to be reclaiming that energy of the fall. And so on the mental quadrant, in the mental quadrant, we see now, whereas the white fire was all about the fiery blueprint, the mental quadrant is all about wisdom. Think about it. If you think about the mind of God, the first quality that you think of is wisdom. This entire quadrant has to do with wisdom. You see, it's all yellow. It's all wisdom. And so how does this precipitate now? Well, on the 3 o'clock line, you have the wisdom of God's power manifesting as God control. On the 4 o'clock line, you have the wisdom of God's love manifesting as God obedience. On the 5 o'clock line, you have the wisdom of God's wisdom manifesting as God wisdom. Now, this gets to be very important when we understand why the fall took place, because Lucifer could not accept the wisdom of God's power, which was the wisdom of the Father. He thought he knew better than the Father, and so he rebelled. He supplanted God control with ego control. And every time we do this in our own world, we're saying, you know, I know better than God. And believe me, I have a really good track record of this. So, you know, it's time. It's time. In fact, I was just reading this morning one of the masters saying, you know, the whole point of this is to understand that, you know, to become wiser than the fallen one who convinced you that you were better off being separate from God. And so the entire point of the path is to become, you know, wise as serpent, harmless as dove. And the wise as serpent means that we basically are smarter than the fallen one that took us off the path by saying, you don't have to be a part of God. You can come apart, separate from God. And so this was the entire situation with the 3 o'clock line where the fall precipitated because they thought they knew better than God. They rejected the wisdom of the Father, the wisdom of God's power. And so then we have Satan who falls on the 4 o'clock line. He rejects the wisdom of God's love. And so he cannot obey God because he rejects the wisdom of God's love. He doesn't see obedience as an act of love. He has a problem with the whole obedience thing. And how many of us have Taurus issues, problems with obedience? We can't understand that obedience is actually a wise aspect of divine love, and yet it is. And so you see there's a fall there on that 4 o'clock line. Then you have the fall of on the 5 o'clock line of serpent who rejects the wisdom of God's wisdom, and you have all of the different mental perversions of the mental quadrant and the divide and conquer and all of those things that take place because the wisdom of God's wisdom is rejected. So we move now into the fullness of the materialization of that divine energy as we hit the 6 o'clock line, which is, in a sense, it has been said, is one of the most important lines, if not the most important line on the clock. It's the line of the mother. It's the line held by Serapis Bay, and we have to get this line right. This is where the energy that spirals down from spirit to matter, it is now our responsibility through our free will to bring it back up, to bring it back to God, from matter back to spirit. And this is definitely a free will venture. And so you see how the wisdom of the sun here in the mental quadrant now is going to move into the emotional quadrant. The emotional quadrant, the overriding quality of that quadrant is love. God is love. The emotional feeling of God is love. If you think of what would be the feeling of God, it's love. And so here the boy-child mental quadrant energy moves into the emotional quadrant, and we have emotional intelligence coming forth. The intelligence of the mind of God inseminating the love, the feeling of the mother quadrant. And so this emotional quadrant is really important business because Mother Mary explained when she gave this teaching on the fallen one who took us off the path that the emotional quadrant was where the coup happened. This is where we could no longer go back. As long as we were in the etheric or mental body, we could go back. We were not fully invested in the fall. When the fall took us over at the level of the emotions, at the level of the feeling world, when we bought into it emotionally, we were done. We were had. And so we have to be able to heal this aspect of self. And this, of course, corresponds to the astral plane, and we know how challenging that can be, the astral plane. And so we're looking at love, and love being the greatest of the three, right? Of these three, the greatest of these three is love. And so we have to get love right, and love is at the level of the emotional quadrant. And so here we see at the 6 o'clock line, the love of God's power expressed as God harmony and supply. Think about this. God loves you so much, he empowers you through God harmony with supply, with every good and perfect gift. We see the God of God's love manifesting as God gratitude on the 7 o'clock line. You love God so much, you love the love of God so much that you have overflowing gratitude for all creation. Then we see the love of God's wisdom on the 8 o'clock line manifesting as God justice. When you think about this, you love the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is just, and you love that wisdom. And here we have this 8 o'clock line manifestation here. And so you can see how there is this filling out of these three qualities here. And so I would suggest that as you look at which of these aspects of your clock are the most challenging within the three in the emotional quadrant? Do you have, is God justice the issue you trip on? Is it God gratitude? Is it God harmony? Is it all of the three, some of the three? You know, really look at this, because as you are able to work with these three in the emotional quadrant, you start to reclaim that love that will help you to bring that energy back from matter to spirit. And so now we're looking at the physical quadrant, and the physical quadrant is the quadrant of the Holy Spirit. And so this energy that is qualified with love is now moving back up towards the Father. And the Holy Spirit is a very, very interesting archetype and energy and divine attribute. Basically, what happens here, now we're talking about the physical quadrant. And the physical quadrant is where, if we haven't mastered this at the level of the etheric, the mental, and the emotional, we have what Mother Mary has said is sin, disease, and death. You know, when we pray for us sons and daughters of God now and at the hour of our victory over sin, disease, and death, we are talking about reclaiming that energy and being able to have the mastery at the level of the physical quadrant. And so what happens in the physical quadrant? Well, all of our works become tried by fire. The fiery furnace, right? Lord Shiva. And so first the energy hits the 9 o'clock line, and it's more of a gentle energy of the girl child, of the Holy Spirit, a blissful energy. If your energy is qualified with love of the mother, it will go all the way back up to the Father. If you did not pass at the level of the emotional quadrant, if your work was not imbued with love, then when it hits the physical quadrant, it's going into the flame. It's going for repolarization. You are going to come face to face with Shiva. And Shiva is serious business, because it's the power of disintegration. And so anything that wasn't qualified with love becomes disintegrated, because it cannot have permanence in God when it comes back to the Father at the 12 o'clock line. And so the love girl child is the most tender and seemingly vulnerable aspect of God, which simultaneously becomes the most deadly to the force of darkness. All that is unreal becomes dissolved, and the sin against the Holy Spirit, the sin against love, cannot be forgiven. And so we see this, you know, in our own physical body. We see this in all of the patterns that have crystallized, that we're not, you know, fully loving. If we, when we get this right, we'll be like Babaji, I'm sure, you know. And so we see what happens at the level of the physical. Well, at the 10 o'clock line, now we're talking about power. What does that mean? Well, power of God here, the power of God's power manifests on the 9 o'clock line as God reality. God reality, you know, there's no unreality here. It's the blue of the blue. Then we have the power of God's love manifesting on the 10 o'clock line as God vision, as selflessness, as the flying eagle. Then we have the power of God's wisdom manifesting on the 11 o'clock line as God victory. And so when we are able to anchor these full qualities of God reality, God vision, God victory in this physical quadrant, we become the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the love girl child, and we receive the ultimate gift, which is all power in heaven and earth. So this is all about power. And if you look, it's interesting that you don't get to power until you've mastered wisdom and love. And this is what the fallen ones thwarted and took over, because they wanted the power without the wisdom of love, the loving wisdom, the golden pink glory. And so we see this. This is a very sacred geometry. And so we see that we're dealing with the power of the 3 times 3 squared in each of the 4 quadrants. This becomes the 12. And so we have the triangle. We have the power of the triangle, the power of the square, the power of the circle, which is infinity. We have God made man and man made God. And we have the Sun of Manifestation standing in the center of the square and the circle, as Leonardo da Vinci drew. And we have this on your handout here. This was a very, very amazing drawing here. You know, you have the man standing in the circle, the man standing in the square, the man raising his, forming the triangle as well. And so this is what we are talking about with this inner family archetype model. And I would just like to ask what my time is right now. Does anybody have time? I just want to make sure I stay on time and I don't have a clock here.
It's 10:15.
Okay, good, good. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to quickly go through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because you will see as we are anchoring each of these qualities in each of these lines of the clock and each of these quadrants, as we have this journey from spirit to matter and matter back to spirit, you're going to see that there is a complete correspondence with the 12 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this is important because in this age, which is the age of Aquarius, we need to anchor these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we have this in detail on the handout I gave you, and each of these headlines in bold reiterates what we were just talking about for those of you who really want to see it mentally. And on the website, again, innerfamilyarchetypes.com/events.html, you will have this as well. And so we're looking at the 12 o'clock line as a white fire blueprint again. We're looking at it, you know, what's the first gift of the fiery blueprint? It is the word of wisdom, because it allows us to anchor the power of God through our crown chakra. What's the gift of the Holy Spirit that anchors that white fire blueprint of God's love? It's the gift of diverse kinds of tongues, because the gift of diverse kinds of tongues has to do with being able to unfold a greater level of love and to speak in all of the languages of the soul. So this is where we first anchor that blueprint of love, of that gift. Then on the 2 o'clock line, we're anchoring the gift of the Holy Spirit of the word of knowledge, which corresponds to the fiery blueprint of God wisdom. We move into the mental quadrant. On the 3 o'clock line here, we have the gift of the discerning of spirits, and this is the manifesting of God's power at the level of the mental quadrant, because discerning of spirits has to do with discerning the wisdom of God's power, which Lucifer was not able to do. And so he went to ego control instead of God control. This is all about discerning of spirits. Am I able to discern the wisdom of God and God's power? Then we move to the working of miracles, and that corresponds to the wisdom of God's love. We had said in previous Golden Age psychology classes, the greatest miracle is holding the immaculate concept for others and helping them in their place of need. And so this is what we're anchoring as the love aspect of the mental quadrant. Then we move to the 5 o'clock line. We're anchoring now the wisdom of wisdom, and this is faith in God's will, the ultimate wisdom. If we believe in the wisdom of God's wisdom, we will have faith in God's will. Now we move to the emotional quadrant. On the 6 o'clock line, we have here the power of the mother, the power of love, and the love of God power that manifests as healing. To heal ourselves and others, we must love the power of God enough to maintain our harmony. This is the aspect of healing. This is where we can heal our entire clock, our entire manifestation. And we can ultimately heal the world. The 6 o'clock line. Now we move to the 7 o'clock line, where we have the love of God in the emotional quadrant of the mother. And we have the gift of interpretation of tongues. It's a gift of love. It corresponds to loving God's mission of love for ourselves and for others, for loving God's mission of love for ourselves and for others enough to be able to hear the needs of a person's soul over the needs expressed by the personality. And so we're seeing this direct correlation between the 1 o'clock line and the 7 o'clock line, aspects of love here. the diverse kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. Then we move to the 8 o'clock line, and we are looking at the love of God's wisdom. We are loving God's wisdom here. And so we have wisdom and love, wisdom in the emotional quadrant. And how does that manifest? It manifests as prophecy. For prophecy is an act of divine wisdom. It's divinely inspired intuition. Ledbetter said prophecy or intuition is basically being able to remember from the future. And so this is an aspect of wisdom within that quadrant of love, that quadrant of emotion. Now we move to the physical quadrant. We have on the 9 o'clock line, we're expanding the power of God, and it's the power of God's power. And what is the ultimate power of God's power? The balanced threefold flame, that gift on the 9 o'clock line. We anchor that here. Then we move to the 10 o'clock line. We're expanding the power of God's love in this physical quadrant as the 11th gift of free will. Think about this. This has to do, why does it have to do with the power of God's love? God loves us so much, he gives us free will. And we must love God so much back that we use that free will to glorify him. And so you can see that the ultimate empowerment through love is free will. Finally, the 11 o'clock line where we have the wisdom of God's power, the aspect of wisdom within the physical quadrant here, is the last gift, which, as we said before, is the gift of all power in heaven and earth. And so as we move through these lines, and as the energy that we have received from the Father goes through the mental quadrant and becomes precipitated through the Christ, moves to the emotional quadrant, becomes endowed with the love of the mother, then passes the test of the Holy Spirit and Shiva, and is endowed with that additional Holy Spirit energy to return to the Father. And in this whole process of co-creation with God, we are anchoring each of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when we get to that final line, we have the power of all heaven and earth. And so there is an aspect to this work that has to do with the plumes in our heart, because we have our threefold flame. And all of us know that we have a plume that is higher and a plume that is lower. And so you need to really think about this if you are not sure, you know, which is your strength and which is your weakness and which one is holding the middle ground between the two. For me, my shorter was pink, my larger was blue, my yellow was the middle. And I'm working hard to bring up that pink to work on the mother quadrant. I have four children and I have Sun and rising in Cancer. It's like there's no escaping this part. You know, the pink has got to grow. And as it does, all of this comes into balance. And so you can look at these, what we put on the website, and those of you who have the handouts, look at this, because if your pink plume, like it was in my case, is the shorter plume, well, our initiations are going to be, to raise this plume, are going to be on the Ruby Cross, right? The 1-7-4-10 axis. So anyway, what that means is that we're looking at these initiations. You know, if I want to strengthen my pink plume, I have to look at, you know, how do I manifest God love? How do I manifest God, God obedience? How do I manifest God gratitude? How do I manifest God vision? Yes. Scorpio. So, you see, if my middle plume is yellow, you know, I'm looking at the yellow cross. And for a lot of people, it's actually easier to start with your middle plume, because you have more of a balanced momentum, and you can use that energy of the middle plume to bring it up to the level of your tall plume, and then in the process, your shorter plume will rise. And so, and then if you have, you know, wherever your tall plume is, like let's say your tall plume is blue or your tall plume is pink, whatever that tall plume is, in my case blue, well, you're going to have tall plume issues, right? So you're also going to have to be working on those qualities of the cardinal points, right? And so no matter whether your plume is tall, short, or middle, you've got to work on all of them. That's the long and the short of it. But there is a process that will will help you with this. And ultimately, you know, study this model, study what we're given today about these lines of the clock and how it integrates with the cosmic clock. And then you will see how it integrates with your psychology, with your relationships, with everything you do. And if you go to the Inner Family Archetype website, we have our book, too, Why We Do What We Do, where we go into great detail about the day-to-day manifestation of this in our psychology, how it affects our relationships with people, how we can discern our own archetypes and the archetypes of others, how the threefold flame and how our personal, what we have imprinted as our karmic pattern at the level of the etheric, mental, emotional, physical is going to contribute to what archetype we have that is dominating these etheric, mental, emotional, physical bodies. And so all of this is in this book, and we are also going to be giving a class starting at the end of September. You can look at that on the website. It's a facilitator training, and we are going to be going into all of this in a lot more detail, and we're going to help people understand how to assess their particular pattern and then how to help assess the pattern in others and to help uplift everyone and to, you know, maximize our potential in every area of life. And so this is our introduction to Golden Age Psychology. This is our introduction to this day and to the work that we will be doing later with the divine archetypes. Thank you so much. God bless you. And we will be talking to you later.
Thank you very much, Therese, for all of us here and those at the broadcast. We are going to take a 15-minute break, and we'll reconvene shortly. Look forward to what the next unfoldment is. Thank you.